Greetings in the worthy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who offered himself as a sacrifice for us. Jesus Christ, that's where we want to turn our focus and attention to today. The divine Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary in a little town of Bethlehem, which is about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Jesus, our High Priest, who, as we heard already this morning, intercedes at the right hand of the Father for us. Also, as we think of Jesus, we know that he is the founder of the New Testament church, making us the body, the bride of Christ our Lord. For a text, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 through 11. I'd basically like to use this as a text this morning, helping us to understand what the life of Christ was about, and also helping us to understand that while Christ was born in this life, he rose as a child. His hometown was Nazareth, being known Jesus of Nazareth, and maybe even more fully, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We also believe that he lived in this life here, did many wonderful things, and that he suffered, died, and rose again, but then also helping us to understand that he is alive today. He is living today in the lives of each of us. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 through 11. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. For we preach not ourselves, Paul says. Paul was not out to make a name for himself or stand before an audience to draw attention to himself. Paul was not full of self-esteem. He didn't want the focus to be on him. He wanted to direct the focus on Jesus, which he found to be his Lord and Savior. And our focus must be on Christ Jesus the Lord. He is the one to preach about. And then it tells us here that hath shined in our hearts. And if we have received Jesus into our lives, we should be people with shining hearts. God shone in our hearts, and it should show in shining lives for Jesus Christ. This treasure, what is that? It is simply the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the glory of God made evident through that gospel. It is the very light of God and the light of the knowledge of the glory of God reflected in the face of Jesus Christ. And if we have this treasure within ourselves, it is the greatest treasure in all creation. But notice then, this treasure is in earthen vessels. And we could ask the question, who is worthy to be a vessel for God's light and glory? Who of us is worthy? You know, you may be the smartest person here. Doesn't really make you worthy. You may be the purest person here. That also doesn't really make you worthy. The most spiritual person or the most talented person isn't enough. We are all just clay pots holding an unspeakable great treasure. And I think that's what brings us together in Christian love, realizing that we are all on equal ground when it comes to Christ Jesus and the life within. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And again, we could ask the question, why does God put such a great treasure in such weak vessels? Well, I think the answer is right here in this verse. So that the greatness of the power may be of God and not of us. That the power of God may be seen from our lives. I looked at this passage of Scripture and studied to prepare to preach. I found this to be an astonishing passage of Scripture. For it tells us that we who are Christians are to be showing forth the life of Jesus from our lives over and over again in our lives every day. We read here that God wants to manifest. The word manifest in the Webster's dictionary means to display, make clearly visible, exhibit the life of Christ in us to the world. And someone once called Christians little Christ, and I believe that is what we are called to be. God's purpose in saving us is not just to keep us from eternal damnation, but to use us as his instruments, to let Jesus be seen in us so that others will believe in him and trust him as Savior. Jesus lives again and again and again, as believer by believer is added to the family of God. And how much of Jesus does the world see in us? And I believe if we keep our focus on Jesus and our lights are shining, this is what will help people to see the light for themselves. How much of the world does Jesus see in us individually? Our personal lives, and then collectively as the body of Christ, do they see something here that they cannot find in the world? And just what is the life of Jesus like? Let's think about it in a way that helps us to see the importance of showing forth the life of Christ from our lives. As we look into the life of Jesus, it was a life lived in complete surrender to the will of God the Father. He himself said he did not come down from heaven to do his own will, but the will of the Father who sent him. He was God and yet man here on earth with a mission, and he would not falter. He would see to it that the mission was accomplished in this world before he returned to the Father. to show forth or to manifest the life of Jesus from our lives, there first of all must be a complete surrender. The Bible is very clear that we cannot serve two masters. Have we, all of us, ever intentionally come before God in prayer and said, Lord, here I am, whatever? And I believe as we do that, that shows forth our surrender to Him. There must be a full surrender in showing forth the life of Christ from our lives. Jesus also claimed that He always said and did those things that the Father told Him to say and do. He was led by the Spirit. He received the Spirit without measure. He was always Spirit-filled. He never lived in obedience to the flesh. And yet the Bible says He was tempted in all ways that we are, yet without ever committing sin. Now, one of the important things as we think of a full surrender to Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the words of Jesus in where He said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Love for our Savior requires keeping His commandments. It requires obedience to His will. If you say you love Jesus, you say you believe in Jesus, and then we can go about doing our own thing or not keeping the commandments, shows forth a lack of commitment in our love for Christ. This is important. I believe very important, so that the life of Jesus may be seen from our lives. And in John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given. The commandments of Jesus Christ, what was dear on His heart? I believe it was our love for one another, our love for the brotherhood, for the church. I believe what was dear on His heart is when He saw people living out their lives in complete surrender and obedience to what He wanted to have them show forth. And I believe one of the things that is so very important and will help people to see the love of Jesus shining from our hearts if we have love for one another. And someone just recently made the comment, I think it was across this pulpit here, that sometimes it's a little easier to love our enemies than to love those that we have daily contact with, or brothers and sisters in the church. But that is very important when we think of what was dear on the heart of Christ. Jesus said that His sheep hear His voice, they know Him, and they follow Him. We must deny self, take up the cross, and follow Him, or we cannot be His disciple. This whole idea of believing in Jesus and it not having a life-changing effect upon us doesn't carry. God doesn't expect those who do not surrender to His will. God doesn't accept those who do not surrender to His will. And I think this is something that we should be very mindful of. It's the all-important. You can go to all the Bible schools. You can attend every Bible study. You could be baptized 1,000 times over. join every church in the country, but that in itself will not save. Until Christ becomes Lord of our lives, we are to walk in his steps. We are to seek to imitate him in all we say and do. And 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Bible tells us also that if we have not the Spirit of God, we are none of his. This is so all important that the Spirit of God is within, that we have the power to live godly lives. Of ourselves, we can't do it. The life of Jesus was a life of many mighty wonders and deeds. He healed the sick. He raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, cast out demons, made crippled legs walk, and even he had the power to forgive sin and bring deliverance. Now, the amazing thing is that Jesus said that those who follow him would do even greater things than he did. John chapter 14 and verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. He who believes in me. Jesus had just encouraged the disciples to trust in him, rely on him, cling to him in faith because of who he is, the words he spoke, and the miracles that he has done. Now Jesus describes a benefit or blessing that comes to those that believe. The works I do, he will do. Jesus expected those who believe in him to carry on his work in this world. Greater works than these he will do. And sometimes we hear that the greater works are a result of the short time that Jesus lived here in this life. I'm not denying that. But what about John chapter 21 and verse 25? And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Try to wrap your mind around that. Even the world could not contain the books that should be written of Jesus. I believe the greater works of which he speaks of would still be his own works, accomplished no longer by his visible presence among us, but by his Spirit within all believers that seek to follow him. And when you think of that, the thousands of believers around the face of this earth, and those that seek to follow him, and the works that they are doing in telling the world of Jesus and his redemption to mankind. The life of Jesus was also a life of righteousness and holiness. He lived among us. Yet he was different from us in that he was the sinless, spotless, blameless Son of God who always did and said that which was in accordance with the will of God and for the good of mankind. Peter tells us about him, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, and we are also called to holiness. We are to walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in immorality or indecency, but always making an effort to align our lives with Jesus Christ so that we can show forth his life from our lives. the life of Jesus was a life of infinite, incomprehensible love. The Bible says, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And then Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. No greater love has ever been manifested. And I believe, as we align our lives with Jesus Christ, that light shining forth from with to those without, they will find that there is no love that exceeds greater than the love of Jesus Christ coming from our lives because of the love we experience personally with him. And this is so much what the world needs today, to see the life of Christ active and living in obedience to his commands, to see the life of Christ shining from our lives so that people may know what this is all about in a practical way. The life of Jesus was also a life of humility and humble service. As the writer of Philippians tells us, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then Philippians has something to say to us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As ye therefore have received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. And as we do that, I believe the life of Jesus will be shown forth even in this present time. May that be our goal and desire. May God further bless the preaching of his word.